Mr. Skin, Mr. Skin, Mr. Skin.com.
720 WGN, I'm Pete McMurray in the Allstate Skyline Studios. Our next guest I met in the late 90s, and he's become a great friend. He grew up memorizing nude scenes in movies. Yes, he started watching movies, recorded them for his buddies, and then started memorizing them for fun. Well, fast forward 20 plus years later, he has an empire at MrSkin.com and a brand new autobiography called Being Mr. Skin. It's Mr. Skin, Jim McBride. How are you, buddy?
Doing great, Pete. And I gotta say, you were very skinspirational for me as far as my career, because you were one of the first people to ever have me on the radio in Chicago, where you used to have people call in and ask me questions, and we got to know each other really well. And from there, you know, I went on the Steve Dahl show and then radio shows all over the country, and it was a big part of the success of MrSkin.com and being able to do this for 20 years. So you were there at the very beginning, and I really appreciate that.
Back when we were all wearing Hawaiian shirts in the late 90s.
Oh, yeah. There's some pictures in this book of those days, and it's not a pretty sight.
Well, take me back to the days. You're a Chicago guy. You grew up in Oak Park. Take me back to the days with your first VCR and when you got HBO.
Yeah, well, as a kid, I grew up watching ABC, CBS, and NBC, which meant zero nude scenes. And as a coming-of-age young man, it was just so, you know, people today can't understand that there wasn't an internet or that you couldn't go on your phone.
Right.
There was this, like, convergence of technologies. The sky, I joke about, the skies opened up, and my dad got me a cable television in suburban River Forest, Illinois, and he got me a Betamax at the same time, and I went from, you know, never being able to see a nude scene to being a teenager, and all of a sudden I had HBO, Showtime, and Cinemax with these drive-in movies from the 70s. I just was in heaven. I couldn't believe that this world existed, and I just recorded everything I could and edited the nude scenes onto other tapes. I collected it like people collect baseball cards or stamps or something. I collected nude scenes and became a real expert on the subject, and my friends used to love to come over and watch the tapes, but also quiz me whenever throughout the 80s and 90s. That was a fun party trick, and that's kind of how this whole thing started.
So you go to college, and then you graduate college, and you work at the Merck, and that's where it kind of turned into a thing. What did you do at the Merck? You worked on the floor, right?
Yeah, I was in the Eurodollar pit all through the 90s, and I was a clerk. I wasn't a broker. I wasn't a runner. A clerk is someone who watches desks and then puts the orders into the you know, into the pits. Well, you know, I talk about this in the book where, yeah, I wasn't the greatest clerk during fast markets when things were really flying, but when times were slow, which there were a lot of downtime when no trades were being made and it was just thousands of guys standing around like one big locker room, that's when I shined at the Merck, because all the brokers knew there was this guy in this clerk that if you asked him any actress, he could tell you off the top of his head whether an actress had been nude. So runners would come up to me and have little notes, like, you know, for example, when Mad About You had started, Helen Hunt and Paul Reiser's show, someone in the 90s might say, hey, has Helen Hunt ever done a nude scene? And they'd have a runner come up, and I'd look on the card, and I'd write down, oh, yeah, she did a movie, The Water Dance, and, you know, she was naked at the 36-minute mark, da-da-da. And then he'd go, and then I might say a joke like, yeah, and it's guaranteed to give you a riser. And then all of a sudden, she'd walk into the pit, it'd be really quiet, and all the guys would get a big laugh, and it was a great way for me to hone my skills. I just wasn't really planning on honing it for a career. I was just doing it for fun.
You had no idea at this point that this was going to turn into an empire.
No idea. And even when the day came, I was in a bar that people might remember in Chicago called Charlie's Ale House, and I had to get up real early the next day to be on the floor of the Merck, and we were just having some beers, and my friends were quizzing me on actresses in like 96 or so, and it just so happened Harry Tynowitz was standing there, and I had never met him before, and he couldn't believe I knew this off the top of my head, so he invited me on to his radio show, and I was hesitant at first. It took him a few weeks to get me to do it, but I said, I'll do it if I don't use my real name. And he goes, that's fine. And he said, well, how about Mr. Naked? And I said, that's really creepy.
It sounds
weird. And he said,
well,
how about Mr. Skin? How about Mr. Skin? And on his second try, you know, I did it. And I went on the show, and I remember, you know, I was nervous. I'd never even called into a radio show, but they, you know, had me, a bunch of people called in. I nailed every question, and I loved it. I really had a great time, but I remember thinking, that's my 15 minutes of fame. That was a cool thing, but I had my 15 minutes, now back to the Merc. And as I was leaving, his, you know, his producer tapped me on the shoulder and said, you know, we had so many people that wanted to ask you questions. Would you want to come back and do this again? And I remember thinking at the time, wow, I really have something. I just didn't know what I had, you know.
Right. So we're talking with Mr. Skin, Jim McBride. His book is called Being Mr. Skin. Now, this is so Chicago. I met you in 98, right when I moved to Chicago. Harry Tynewitz and I worked together for 3 months back in 98. We did a show called Radio for Men on WCKG. Harry went back to ESPN after 90 days, but the show was on from 7 to 11 at night. We would go to the Lodge almost every night after the show because I lived a block away. Now, you worked at the Merc at the time. I met you. I want to say it was like 1 in the morning. We're hanging out till 3, and I'm like, do you have a real job? And you said, yeah, I work at the Merc. And I said, what time do you have to go to work?
I know. I had to be up at 6 in the morning. But, you know,
right.
I was a single guy. I was in my 30s. I didn't have, you know, didn't have a lot of obligations. And I often lie awake at night thinking, thank God I went out that night to Charlie's Ale House, or I probably this thing never would have happened. You know, it was just a weird circumstance to be able to get to do this for 20 years. It really was.
Right. Well, let's talk about how this thing blew up. So you started doing a radio show. A guy heard you and said, hey, would you like to start a website?
Yeah. So I became a little bit of a, you know, Chicago radio celebrity, Tiny, in that I was on a lot of shows like Dahl and yours and a couple others, and people in Chicago knew who I was. So when they would have radio events like at WCKG, I would be at a lot of them. And at one of the events, I was actually umpiring one of Steve Dahl's celebrity softball games, and it was being broadcast by you on the radio. Literally, I umpired the game. I was getting ready to leave. It was a weeknight, like a Thursday, and I had to get to work early the next morning, but some guy was in the stands, and he walked up to me after the game and said, you know, you have to put what's in your head into a website. And I said, well, what's a website? I didn't even know. This was like 1997.
No one knew what it was.
No, I didn't know. And
no.
He said, no, there's opportunity for you to really make money. So he talked me into it, and I actually quit my job, raised some money from my brother-in-law and a broker at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Not a lot of money. And I, you know, took this chance. And I remember thinking, if I could just make a couple of extra bucks, I'm not really happy down here at the Merc. I'm not going anywhere. I'll find another job. But, you know, this will be fun. And here we are 20 years later. I launched the site on August 10th of 1999 with really very low expectations. But, you know, here we are 20 years later. I have 40 people that work for me. And when I take a step back and look at this thing, I think the biggest thing that stands out, yes, the website has been very successful, but it's just that I've had so much fun. What a great thing to do for 20 years when you could have a job that is just nonstop fun, you know?
Right. It's all yucks. We're talking with Mr. Skin. Being Mr. Skin is his book. Now, when you started the website, by the way, we were going out 3 or 4 nights a week, and then suddenly you disappeared for a year. That's when you put the website together.
I was sitting in a studio apartment at 10 East Ontario in Chicago, and I literally was working 18-hour days and just putting the database together. I told my team of one developer and one marketing guy, I said, listen, I'm not going to launch this till I have the skin information on 1,000 actresses, because if it's going to be a pay site, I want people to have enough content where they're going to stick around longer than, you know, one day. And that was my goal, and it took a long time because I did everything from the website thing. Now I have people that do it all for me, but at that time I did everything, including having to go through the movie and grab the pics and clips and write the reviews and get biopics for the actresses and put in all their statistics, their date of birth, and all that other stuff.
Cause
I was very numbers oriented. But it was, you know, when I launched it, you know, I literally within 5 minutes of launching, flipping the switch, we had our first join. I thought this was going to be so easy, but it took a good 6 months to get going in the big break, and I talk about it in the book. One of my skin-finding moments was getting on the Howard Stern Show to promote the website, and that really blew things up.
It's one thing to get on Howard, but when Howard embraces you and truly likes you, I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, and people tell me that all the time because I've been a guest on the Howard Stern Show probably 25 times in studio. That very first time I went on, I just called in, but since then I've been in studio, you know, 24, 25 times. But you're right. You just cannot imagine how many people listen to that show. And when Howard likes what you do and even talks about it when I'm not a guest on the show, that free publicity, I can't even imagine what that meant to me over the course of the years of running this business.
Sure. And let's talk about Knocked Up. Judd Apatow, who did 40-Year-Old Virgin, was writing a new movie. He contacts you and says what?
Well, it was actually lawyers from Universal contacted me. That movie came out on June 1st of 2007, Knocked Up, and it was the summer of 06. I get a call from a Universal attorney, and he says to me that, you know, the guy that did 40-Year-Old Virgin wants to put your website into his next movie. And, you know, I had a lot of people telling me, hey, listen, you got to charge them some serious money, you got to do this, you got to do that. And I'm not the greatest businessman in the world, but I did instinctively know that why put up roadblocks or why do anything that would make them change course, and why make it tough for them to get your website. And I just knew, good or bad, how they treated the website, that the publicity would be fantastic.
Right.
That 40-Year-Old Virgin was a big hit. So I just said, where do I sign? Do whatever you want. And I got to say, the product placement of MrSkin.com and the movie Knocked Up is right up there with Reese's Pieces and E.T. It was just an amazing, amazing product placement.
Well, explain to people if they don't remember the scene in the movie. It's Paul Rudd, right?
Yeah, well, there's a couple things. One is the scene where Paul Rudd and Seth Rogen are talking about, you know, what Seth Rogen is trying to do. And by the way, Judd Apatow heard me on the Howard Stern Show while he was writing the screenplay for Knocked Up, and he was trying to come up with a really embarrassing job, but also a funny job for Seth Rogen.
Right.
And he thought of what I did, which is funny in itself. But no, and then Seth Rogen's explaining that he's trying to do this celebrity website, and Paul Rudd goes, what, you mean like Mr. Skin? And he goes, what's that? And they flash to the boys all standing around a computer. They've been working over a year on this website and realize that MrSkin.com exists and that they have no chance of beating it, so they all quit making the website.
God, I love it. We're talking with Mr. Skin, celebrating 20 years with his new book, Being Mr. Skin. You do interviews all the time from your house in the northern burbs. You have three kids, one in high school, two in grammar school. How do you juggle being Mr. Skin and being a dad?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, and I try to bring up some stories in the book, because one of the weird things for me is I'll be at a wedding, or I'll be at, you know, even a funeral or something, and guys just feel like they could come up and ask me anything, anytime. Like, I'll be at a funeral, and someone will be like, hey, I just saw that movie Gone Girl. Who was that girl that got naked in it, you know, at a funeral or something? And it happens all the time. I think from my kid's standpoint, I think maybe for the girls it might be a little embarrassing, but
yes.
I got to say, my son, his baseball team, I know all the guys on the baseball team, they all want Mr. Skin swag, so it's not so bad for him, I guess.
Now, Mr. Skin, your website has been mentioned on SNL, Family Guy, the People's Choice Awards, Jimmy Kimmel has mentioned it. You get movies from major studios and TV shows now, don't you?
Yeah, well, you know, we get 6 million visitors a month to MrSkin.com, and many movie studios and PR firms send us screeners of, you know, movies or television shows so we could review them and talk about them. And listen, there's a lot of competition out there, and if we're at MrSkin.com celebrating a show, you know, for great nudity, that's great free publicity for them. I just saw that HBO has a show called Euphoria that's starting this weekend that I think is going to blow people's minds with how much sex and nudity you're going to see. And that's something we'll be talking about a lot this year, and it's great publicity for the show.
And I do have to mention before we go, your wife, Michelle, she is a rock star.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm very lucky, and she's been with me since day one. In fact, another reason you've been very important in my life is I was at your one-year anniversary show as a guest with Cindy Crawford's mom. A big lineup you had.
That was a big lineup. Mr. Skin and Cindy Crawford's mom, everybody.
That was the night.
Come on out to the Abbey Pub.
Yeah, at the Abbey Pub. I actually met my wife that night, and we have video and pictures of me the first time I laid eyes on her, which is really a cool thing to have.
She's an attorney by trade, a great mother, but also has done so much charity work in California, in Chicago, everywhere. That's what your wife is all about.
Yeah, no, she's a great person. I'm very lucky, and you have a lot to do with it, so I want to thank you.
Does she still laugh with the skinisms when you bring them up?
Yeah, not as much. I think the family gets a little, I can't help it.
It's, no.
That's just, I puns and things like that, I just can't help it. And, you know, it's a big part of my website. It's a big part of this book. And it's unfortunately, in some cases, a big part of my life. So.
Well, congratulations on 20 years. The book is called Being Mr. Skin. You can get it at Amazon and anywhere else. It's Jim McBride, Mr. Skin. Thanks for coming on, buddy.
You're awesome, Pete. Thanks so much.
All right. It's 720 WGN.